You have to be totally oblivious to life not to see that human nature can often be very predictable. There are certain circumstances which lead to a very predictable response. For instance, total darkness. Total darkness may lead to fear, insecurity, isolation, and a feeling of helplessness. Very frightening thing, total darkness. A pleasurable experience will bring forth a predictable smile and feeling of contentment. A certain fragrance or odor will bring an appropriate, predictable reaction as to whether it is pleasing or offensive. One of the most predictable human reactions is when a group or even society or nation is faced with a common crisis. The worse the crisis, the more predictable the response will be. The predictability of the crisis is that they will bring people together even if the togetherness may be short in duration. And didn't we see this in 9-1-1? Barriers of personal animosity and even prejudices take a back seat to the unifying response to the crisis. Friend and foe alike, overlook the past and work in concert to defeat the common enemy or the crisis. In many ways, a prime example of this was during the Second World War. Even though the nation was tarnished by racial divide and social divisions, Pearl Harbor and the Third Reich forced this nation to work together in order to overcome the enemies. The common threat predictably brought the people together to mass the greatest war machine in history. I'm also reminded, and some of you will remember this, I remember it very well, because I went to Washington at this time, the Poor People's March on Washington in the late 60s. The deeply prejudiced white poor joined together with the black poor when they saw their common plight. And it was going on there in Washington, that togetherness, I saw it. When faced with a common crisis or enemy, people are most likely to join together in order to overcome the situation, in spite of the differences they may bring to the table. Now, this is brought to light in our gospel lesson this morning. Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem, along an area between Samaria and Galilee. Now, this border separated two peoples who had a long-standing dislike and disregard for each other. The Samaritans and the Jews. This deeply rooted animosity led to the Jewish rule to have no association whatsoever with the Samaritan. And the Samaritan likewise was to ignore the Jew. Now Jesus came across a situation which disregarded this long-standing animosity. There, standing afar off, were 10 lepers who were Jews and at least one Samaritan. They had found company together in spite of their prejudices because of their common plight. Leprosy. This was such a dreaded disease that anyone who was afflicted by it was banned from society, sentenced to suffering and death. They were forbidden to have any human contact except with other lepers. Therefore, they formed colonies in order to survive. With such a devastating sentence, all of society's prejudices and restrictions no longer had any importance to those who were in these colonies. With the common plight of leprosy, all their energies had to come together in order to survive. There was no room for divisive behavior. You know, it's a real shame that just as it is predictable that a common crisis binds people together by setting aside their differences, it is also very predictable that when the common crisis passes, these differences very often reappear. We in our lifetime have witnessed this and perhaps are living it today. Now the story continues on. The group of lepers stood far off from Jesus. Since a leper had to maintain a safe distance from any healthy person, this distance was at least 50 yards. Stay off. Huddled together, they recognized Jesus, who was well known for his healing powers. They shouted out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." In seeing their plight, Jesus responded, answering their plea. He commanded them to go to show themselves to the priest, who were the only ones able to declare them clean from their leprosy, and the only ones to give them clearance to return into society. Go show yourselves to the priest. Now the story gets interesting. The lepers seemed to have enough faith in Jesus that they follow his command, or they were so desperate that they would try anything anyone would tell them to do. Regardless, they evidently believed enough and followed the instructions. So off they went on their way. And while they were walking, they were healed. It is interesting that nothing was going to stop them from returning to normal life. They were healed now, and they needed to have that sentence of being clean. They didn't want to waste a minute. Therefore, as a group, they continued to the priest. That is, except for one, a Samaritan, the despised Samaritan. He was compelled, personally compelled, to leave the group and return to Jesus in order to thank him. He put off that moment of being declared free from leprosy, free to go home to his family. He returned to give thanks. The others vividly displayed another human trait which many succumb to: ingratitude. They had become so embittered by what life had dealt them that they must have felt their healing was owed to them. They had suffered so long that they didn't want to waste any time in returning to normal life. After all, they have been forced to waste too much of their life already. Why be thankful for what should have been theirs all along? A normal, disease-free life. If anything, life had just repaid them for the pain and suffering that had occurred in their lives. There is no need to return to give thanks for all this. Ingratitude is a part of human nature, and very predictable when it comes from the person who thinks life revolves around them. With this attitude, there is the belief that life owes them everything. Life is not then seen as a gift, but an obligation of bowing to the wishes of the individual. It says, life owes me everything, and I owe life or no one anything. This produces ingratitude. There is not one here this morning who hasn't seen or experienced this aspect of humanity. And to be truthful, we may at one time or another even been guilty of ingratitude ourselves. I know I have. It is those times that we feel thankful for nothing, because we feel that life has shortchanged us. We may even become ungrateful when we realize that nobody has given us thanks for all that we have done for them. Why should I thank others when they never thank me? You know, what a miserable trait of human nature. What a miserable, lonely way to live. There is no sense of joy, no celebration of life, no act of love in living an ungrateful life. You know, there is no peace or joy at sunrise. To find peace and joy is to experience and appreciate the gifts of life and ultimately the gifts of God's love. To find such peace and joy is to first found when we appreciate others. And that we appreciate others to the point of saying thank you. One out of the 10 lepers was able to experience thankfulness. Thankfulness for the gift that was given him. That precious gift. Life. It is to this leper that Jesus gives the declaration of complete healing. He said, get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well. This one leper was not only healed of his leprosy, but healed from bitterness and torment. His total life was healed. He alone out of the 10 would not be embittered and tormented the rest of his life. He alone would find fulfillment through a life of gratitude. He alone would know that being thankful is to experience love. No matter our plight, no matter our circumstance, We can always find the joy of life by appreciating those many gifts of life which are given to us. You know, I've used this example before. But that young boy, Matty Stefanik, who had that deadly disease of nerve degeneration, affecting his lungs, the very ability to breathe, and the ability to walk, the ability to act as a normal child. Matty could have very easily been embittered deeply, because he knew that his life would be short, and it was. He died at 13. But instead of being embittered, listen very carefully to the prayer that he wrote. Dear God, I was going to thank you tonight for a beautiful sunrise that was pink beyond the fog down the hill, and for a wonderful rainbow that I ran under pointing to all my favorite colors, and for such a great sunset that sparkled orange across the water. I was going to thank you tonight for all these special gifts. Except none of them happened. But do you know what, Lord? I still love you. And I have lots of other things that I can thank you for tonight. Even if I didn't give those very special gifts to me today, if you didn't give me those very special gifts today, it's okay, God. Because I'll look for them all again when my tomorrow comes. Amen. Amen. And amen.